Jehovah,
Jehovah, Yeshua, Messiah, Creator, Redeemer, Restorer, my Healer. The whole earth is full of His glory.
Someone would lift up a shout of praise in this place tonight. Like Jesus has done something for you in your life. Come on. Let's lift it up. Let's lift it up tonight. We release miracles in this place tonight. We release healing in this place tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Stay in your seat.
Jehovah, Yeshua,
don't stay in your
Messiah,
seat.
Messiah, Creator, yeah. Redeemer, Restorer, my Healer. The whole earth is full of Your glory.
Holy, worthy,
and righteous, and lovely, faithful. Jehovah, Yeshua, Messiah,
my
Creator, Redeemer,
the Restorer,
my Healer. The whole earth is full of Your glory. Righteous and lovely, faithful, Jehovah, Yeshua, Messiah, Creator, Redeemer, the Restorer, my Healer. The whole earth is full of Your glory.
Come on, let's lift up a shout of praise in this place. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Jesus, we worship You. We exalt You. We magnify You. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Come on, God is doing things down here right now. If I was you and I had a need in your life, I wouldn't let it keep me in my seat right now. We don't need a program. We don't need suit coats. We don't need our pride. What we need is an old-fashioned Holy Ghost outpouring move of the Spirit in our lives. So if you have a need, I said if you have a need, and your faith can match a need, and your faith knows that your God is able to meet that need, I challenge you to come down to the front right now and see if your God will meet a need in your life. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I bind every spirit of fear right now that would come against us. Everything that would compete for Your throne right now in this place. And by the authority and the power of the name of Jesus, we are releasing Your Spirit to do the impossible here right now in the name of Jesus. We are releasing the Holy Ghost right now to flow into the deep places of who we are. Come on the count of three. I want you to lift up a shout of praise. I want you to begin to engage God with faith for the impossible in your life. And we are going to worship tonight like there is no tomorrow, because our God is able. On the count of three. One. Two. Hands in the air. Now lift up a shout of praise. Three. Jesus, we invite the Spirit to flow right now. By the power and the authority in the name of Jesus, we release miracles into sick bodies right now. We release deliverance to flow into hearts that are broken. We release healing to flow right now into the deep places in the name of Jesus.
Worthy,
come on, seek Him.
Righteous and lovely,
seek Him.
Faithful, Jehovah, Yeshua, Messiah.
restorer, my healer, the whole earth is full of your glory.
I was 16 years old. I was at a youth rally on a Friday night. The day before, I was sitting in Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and they had drawn my blood. And the thyroid condition that I'd been taking medication for 2 years had just taken another step up. As the preacher finished preaching that night, my 16-year-old self was in the back row. And the preacher wasn't preaching about healing, deliverance, freedom, but God spoke to this heart. And he said, "Son, if you'll be the first one to the altar, when the altar call is given, I'm going to take what the best physicians in the world said was irreversible, and I'm going to turn it around in a moment." I was 16, which means I had way too much pride for my own good. I knew I needed to run if I was going to be the first one. The best I could do was time a quick walk. But I stepped to the front right, lifted my hands, and the man of God, with faith, prayed over me. I didn't feel electricity go through my body, but my faith engaged God, who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. Friends, your faith is the currency that motivates God to move on your behalf. Abraham, who was a man of faith, engaged God over a city of heathens. And God said he'd spare that city if just 10 righteous people would be there. Our faith can change God's mind. And I don't know what you walked in here dealing with tonight, but when I made an appointment at the Mayo Clinic that next Monday, they drew my blood. And I waited. And I waited. And they came back in the room, and there was more of them this time, and they said, "We apologize, we're a world-class facility, but we must have gotten your blood mixed up with someone else's, so we're going to need to take some more blood." Well, if you think I'm skinny now, I was really skinny then. So they took a little more blood and walked me back to the waiting room. And they came in about a half an hour later to say, "We don't know what happened over the last 3 days, but you can go home. And by the way, you don't have to take any of that medication, because everything that was broken is now just fine." I wasn't praying every day. I wasn't preaching sermons. But I had just had a little bit of faith. And God doesn't care how you walked in here tonight. He doesn't care what you've been hiding underneath your suit coat so none of the other religious people would see it. What he wants is to get down into the middle of your heart where no one else can see. And he wants to break some doors down. And he wants to instill in you what you've been wanting him to instill in you for a really long time. And so I'm going to petition to you one more time. It's not that God's not able to do miracles back there. It's just that 90% of the miracles Jesus did in the New Testament involved people taking a step toward him. When we step out of the comfortable, it engages our faith. When I pastored in Minnesota, there was a young man who came to our first Friends Sunday. Sharp dresser. Looked like he had life together. I started teaching him a Bible study. And I got to know what I probably would get to know about any of us in this place, including myself. there's places in our lives that we just would rather not have out in the open. You might look at me up here in this suit and tie and think that my life has been perfect. But when I was 5 years old, I was inadvertently exposed to pornography. And it changed my life. Because once the box is open, you can't shut it. Not on your own. You can read books, you can have accountability partners, you can talk about it. Until you understand that you're fighting a spiritual battle and not a physical battle, things in your life are just going to stay the way they are. You're going to start hearing the lies start to reverberate in your heart that this is the way it's always going to be, and that you're never going to break free from this, or that you're never going to be able to do what God's called you to do because you've got sin. You're a hypocrite. One day someone told me that I wasn't fighting myself. I was fighting a spirit. And that changed my life because I understood in a moment that the Bible tells me how I can win spiritual battles. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, friends. You're wrestling against a cosmic being. And there is a cosmic war for your soul going on right now. And it may even be the very thing that keeps some of us from receiving the supernatural here tonight. But what I want to simply say is, once I understood how to fight, I needed one more piece of truth. And that's when God spoke to me one night in the middle of the night as I wept over Psalm 51, reading through the chapter, repenting for the sin that I had been committing for years and years and years that I could never break free from, even though no one at church knew. I got to 51 in verse 6, and David said this to God: "You desire truth in my inward parts, and in my hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." And God spoke to me, Mark, and he said, "Your biggest stronghold in your life isn't your addiction. The biggest stronghold in your life is that you've believed the lies of the enemy about your life. And until you stop believing the lies and you start putting truth in your heart, I can't touch your addiction." And so I took a marker and a journal, and through tears, I started writing down every lie that the enemy had told me about my life. That I'll never be free. That God will never be able to use me. That God will never be able to step into the middle of my mess and make it right. And I started going through truth. And I started writing the truth under every lie. And I wrote down that who the Son sets free is free indeed. I wrote down that I don't have to be this way because Jesus took a cross. And when we start to believe the truth about who he is and what he's done for us, there is no addiction that can stand. There is no wound in your heart that can stay and remain unhealed. There is no sickness in our body that can stand against the truth of who he is. And so, we're going to sing again. Because there's still people here, and I'm not meaning to creep anybody out, but I can look into your eyes and I know there are people here who have not gotten yet tonight what God intends to give to you tonight. And so tonight we need to choose between our pride and a miracle. We need to choose tonight between comfort and breaking out of that and stepping into the supernatural. We need to decide tonight whether we're going to walk out the same way we came, or if we're going to peel back a layer no matter who's around and let God touch the places in our heart that he wants to touch. Because his will is that we don't leave the same tonight. His will is that we encounter the supernatural tonight. So as we sing again, let's let hope rise in this place. Let's let faith rise in this place, because God is about ready to do something spectacular in this moment. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Come on, do you believe it? Then let's engage God like nothing is impossible in this place. In the name of Jesus, I come against pain right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of infirmity in this place right now. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of fear in this place. I curse fear and depression and oppression and suicide and darkness. I curse heaviness in this place by the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. I bind every kind of abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, and the wounds that they have created in this place. In the name of Jesus, we release healing. We release healing to flow right now. Come on, begin to engage God like your miracle is on the way tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear.
I believe in you.
Power of the risen one.
was a pastor's wife of a small church of 60 people, a church full of babies in Christ, a church full of needs and people that were looking to me and my husband to give them the answers and the support and the help that they needed. And I was already struggling with perfectionism and anxiety and striving and shame and fear and guilt. And I was already over the limit with trying to please and trying to be enough. And it put me over the edge. And instead of walking in the Spirit and letting go and letting God be the strength, I tried to do it on my own. And what I learned in the last 5 years is a very difficult lesson, that when your heart is whispering and when you ignore your heart's whispers of slow down, let go, stop, listen, your body will start screaming. And that's what happened to me. I just kept pushing through, pushing myself farther, doing one more thing, trying to meet expectations of everyone else, including myself. And the inner voice always chanting, you're not enough. You're going to mess up. You don't make the cut. You don't measure up. Every failure in someone else's life or in my own was my fault. I didn't know grace. I didn't know what grace was, and I was born in this beautiful truth and the blood of Jesus Christ. But I hadn't experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in my own life. And so I started getting sick. I started struggling with IBS on a level that I had never known before. I could barely eat. I lost a bunch of weight. And I had food allergies. And my adrenals shut down. Well, they didn't shut down, but they were exhausted, depleted. My kidneys. My body was screaming, stop. And it was only then, through several years of that, of trying to rest, trying to let go of the stress and the striving, my doctor told me, I was on my way to General Conference 2 years ago, and she told me, if I were you, I would throw myself down on the ground and cry out to God for healing, because there's nothing more we can do for you. It's a heart issue. And when you get rid of that, you'll get healed. And I did. And God told me, when you let go, I'll heal you. And I said, God, I don't know how to let go. I don't know what that means. And so for a whole other year, I battled, trying to do better, trying to do less, trying to cut out stress. But in here, I was not enough. And here it turned into deep shame and self-hatred. And I was so ashamed of self-hatred, because how can you hate yourself and be a Christian? And I had a dear mentor in my life explain to me that I wasn't hating my true self, but I was hating my false self. And that there was hope and freedom for me. And what I did was I identified the lies. I gave them a name. I even gave them a face. So I knew exactly what I was fighting wasn't me, but it was stuff outside of me. They were spiritual forces at work against me. I wasn't a bad person. I didn't hate myself. And when I got to that point, it was several months for me, because I'm slow and I have to write everything out and work through everything. It doesn't have to take forever, but for me, it took a long time. And it was April 20th of this year that I walked into a district conference of the Rocky Mountain District in Billings, Montana, where I was born. And my husband turned to me and said, it's time. You're home. It's time to be healed. And we were thinking of physical healing. I had come such a long way with the emotional stuff. But people started praying for me just out of nowhere. And then that was great. And I felt things breaking. And then the offering came along. And a prophetic minister of God said, You know, I feel that there is someone here that is struggling with an ailment of a certain amount of years. And if you will give a sacrifice, if you will put your sacrifice on the altar of an amount of money that God places on your heart, and he wasn't looking for money, but God will heal you. And he instructed anyone to come give their offering and go to the left. And Nate and I looked at each other and we had the exact amount of money in our wallet that had God spoken to our heart. And I stepped to the left, and when that district board prayed for me, and when those men laid their hands on my head, I felt it break. And in that instant, I saw it break in the spirit, and God said, it's done. Because I had finally let go. I didn't have anything else to hang on to. I didn't care anymore. And he had led me on such a long journey that I had already learned that I had to take my mask off. I had to stop faking it and pretending like everything was okay. I had to stop being fake. Because there is no healing in fake. And this world doesn't need any more fake Pentecostals. It doesn't need any more fake Christians. It doesn't need any more fake Christ followers who are just trying to put on a good show. This is the body of Christ, and this is where we need to be healed. And we are messed up. We're human. We're fallen. And so my motto now is embrace the mess. Because we are a beautiful mess, and God is making us into masterpieces. But that doesn't happen until heaven. That is the final fashion show of God's greatest line, heaven's runway. And we have to let go of that being, trying to be perfect and get it right now. It's time to be real, church, because the world isn't real. They don't know what real is. And if we're real, it's going to blow them out of the water. And that's where miracles, that is where that next level, that's the supernatural becoming the natural and the normal. That's the book of Acts continuing. That is the multiplication. We have to be healed in order for God to multiply. We have to be healed, church. And the only way to be healed is to let go and open up all the way. And it's scary. It is scary, but it's safe. You are safe here. You're safe in the presence of God. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to twist you. He's not going to lie to you or leave you or abandon you. So right now, we've talked a lot about lies. And what I want to do is anyone who wants to be free, I mean, you are serious. I want you to scoot in close because this is your night. This is your night. It doesn't have to take years for you. I did all the heavy lifting and all the work for you. And now I'm telling you the easy plan. If you are ready, you come in close. The first, because here's the deal, as lies come in and we start believing those lies and we live out of those lies and they become our truth. Amen. Anybody listening? You hear me? They become our truth. And those lies are attached to spirits. Spirit of fear, spirit of depression, spirit of lust, anxiety, alcohol, whatever it might be. And we can't break free because we believe the lie. Our addictions aren't the issue. It's that we're living in a lie and God has truth. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth, is what Jesus prayed over his disciples. We have got to kick out every lie. And we got to start from the way back. And what has to happen is we ask Jesus, because there's a host of lies. We have to ask him, what is that taproot? What is that main lie, that root? We have to cut that out. Cut that off. And all the other lies that spring out of that are gone and dead. So right now, we're going to lead you. And prayer team, we are going to have these people that are going to pray with us and help us through this process. But this first step is Jesus, and every eye closed, every hand lifted. Jesus, reveal that taproot to me right now. And Jesus, I plead your blood. Reveal that lie right now. Bring it to the surface, God, that major main lie that is causing all the other lies to sprout off. Every lie that I believed. Reveal that main lie to me. I plead your blood, Lord Jesus, over these precious people, your sons, your daughters, oh, these brothers and sisters in the faith. Oh, Rabashaya Ramahoto. Yes, Yes. Jesus, show me. Jesus, speak. Jesus. Yes. 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 I curse all confusion, all muddy thinking, any fog, any distraction right now, any pride. Let it be done. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Yes. Go deep. Go deep. Reveal the lie. Reveal the lie, Jesus. Bring it to the surface. Yes. 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 That's it. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Now that you have that lie, it's probably the first thing that popped in your head. Now that you have that lie, we have to break the agreement that we've made with that lie. Because what happens is when we make an agreement with a lie, it becomes a stronghold. And it ain't going anywhere. It sets up shop. It has the key to your heart. And it has a legal right to be there because you've agreed with it and let it be there. Does that make sense? So what we are doing is we are breaking up with that lie. We're breaking the contract that we signed when we started saying, yep, it's true that I'm hopeless. Yep, it's true that I'm not good enough. Yeah, it's true that nothing's ever going to change. It's true that my marriage has failed. It's true that I'm always going to be poor. I'm always going to be sick. Whatever it might be. No, 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 no. It's not true. So right now, once again, every eye closed, every hand lifted, we have to speak it out. Satan, I renounce the lie. I renounce the agreement that I've made with the lie of, and fill in the blank. I renounce the agreement that I've made with the lie that I'm not good enough. I renounce the agreement that I've made with the lie of self-hatred. I renounce the agreement that I've made with the lie of depression. We're breaking every agreement in the name of Jesus. I break the agreement that I made. I break the agreement I made with bitterness. I break the agreement that I made with unforgiveness. I break the agreement that I've made with depression, with alcohol, with lust. Yes, that's it. That's it.
The veil tore before you. You silenced the voice.
Yes, 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 we release truth right now. We release truth, Lord Jesus.
The praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
No more, no more.
You have no rival, you have no equal. Have no equal now and forever.
Hallelujah. Now there's one final step. Yes, that's it. There's one final step that after we break up with the lie, we kick it out. We take away its keys. And then we release truth and peace and life and joy and love to reign. The Spirit of God to be the only reigning power in our heart. We put the Lord Jesus Christ back on the throne of our heart. So it's that complete surrender. Okay? So right now we are going to pray again and we are going to kick out forever. Not just break up with, but kick it out and throw away the key and change the locks. This can be a turning point for you. And you will never be the same. That's what it was for me. And I've had messy days and I've had days that I've wanted to fall back into striving and shame, but they're not in me anymore. And so I can kick it and say, no, thank you. I have the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of my heart and ruling in my mind. And Galatians 5:1 says, stand therefore in the freedom wherewith Christ has set you free and be not enslaved again in the yoke of bondage. So that is the step after. So there's hope. You don't have to be perfect, but you won't be bound and heavy and hopeless anymore. You won't be living a lie. You'll be living a truth and your purpose. And it's so incredible. It's God's will for each one of us. So right now, we're going to pray again, and we're taking the keys away and kicking out those spirits. And that's where the lies, and that's where we need our spiritual midwives. If you want to pray with someone next to you, and prayer team, evangelism team, if you feel led to pray with certain people, just do that because we need help. And you're going to feel something break deep down in here. Because when those lies take root, they go deep and we feel it physically. So you're going to feel something break. And that is when you are free. And that's when you can start releasing that goodness of Jesus Christ and that love and that freedom, okay? You ready? In Jesus' name, every eye closed, every hands in the air. This is awesome. Yes, this is your night. Yes. Yes, yes. Spirit of hopelessness, I kick you out once and for all. Spirit of depression, I kick you out once and for all. I kick out every lie. Fear, you are not allowed in my heart anymore. I kick you out. Suicidal thoughts, I kick you out. That spirit of death, I kick you out in Jesus' name. The lie. You are not true. You are not welcome and you're not coming back. Yes, that's it. You have the authority in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is higher. The name of Jesus is stronger.
There is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name.
Yes, let it break. Let it break. Go deep. Yes, yes, yes.
There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. In the name, there is life in the name.
In grace, being led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. You have to allow truth in your inward parts, but fight for truth. Fight for truth with everything that's in you. Memorize scriptures and walk in that truth and newness of life. And the Spirit, you can't do it on your own. And we can't do it alone. We need each other. And just keeping that, hallelujah, the same Spirit. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We're walking in the Spirit and in newness of life. We're not doing this on our own. Hallelujah, we're not doing this on our own, Jesus. Hallelujah.
God has done a mighty work here in this place tonight. But one thing we have to remember, church, is just as much as we don't like to give up spiritual territory, neither does our adversary. When Paul tells us, we mentioned this tonight already, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are in a fight, but it's a battle that God has given us the equipment to win. I was praying just a few moments ago. God just gave me these words. As a church, that we have to break with our past, whatever that may be. We have to break with our past because our past has no place in our future where God wants to take us. See, the problem with Israel is they never could break with their past. And God is breaking our past tonight. So as we go into this week, it's not going to be a week free from the enemy. He's going to be there. He's going to be whispering in your ear, telling you that what happened tonight was just another one of those nights. But all we have to do is, the scripture tells us, to resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We don't have to engage him. We don't have to argue with him. We don't have to fight him. All we have to do is resist him. So as we go into tomorrow morning, let's wake up with a resistance attitude that I'm going to resist the devil. And I'm going to make him flee. How many of you will do that? It's just not Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, it's Thursday, it's every day. Resist the devil. Are we going to have our moments where we fumble and we fall? Yes, we are. But that's where we get up, we square our shoulders, and we say, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep moving. I'm not going to let one failure define the whole entire rest of my life. I want to thank Nathan and Skasha for ministering to us tonight. And I just want to give a big old shout out to the God Almighty that came down and just moved in our midst. Yes. Woo! Score another one for Jehovah. Yes. We serve an awesome God. Shake hands with the brother or sister. Tell them how awesome they are if you want to. I want to thank our praise and worship team tonight, our musicians. You guys have had a long night. You've done superb. Thank you so much for letting God just flow through you. God bless you all. We'll see you on Wednesday night.